Ephesians, Paul says, pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I might declare it boldly, as I must speak. How many of you are freshly back from a vacation? Anyone here who had a vacation fairly recently? Some of you, all right. How many of you are closing in on a vacation? All right. Whether you had a vacation recently or whether you're closing in on one, you got back from one or whatever, how many of you right this moment feel like you need a vacation? Yeah. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. That's the version you're more likely to have recognized or learned this verse. And I will give you rest. And that beautiful psalm that says, be still and know. Be still and know that I am God. God is with us. God is our refuge. How do we know that? How can any of us say, how did the psalmist come up with this? How did the psalmist come to experience God as a refuge? God as with us. I mean, that comes from experience. Those are not just words, because we hear it again and again and again. Not only in the Psalms, but then Jesus is saying the same thing. Come to me, there's rest. It's summer. If any of you ever saw the Terminator movies. Now I realize that that's not a genre. Yeah, there's a quick turn, wasn't it? It relates, believe it or not, at least in my mind. The second Terminator movie, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger in his heyday. So, he plays this robot who is sent from the future back to protect this boy who's got to survive if the future is going to be bright and avoid world destruction, something like that. So anyway, Schwarzenegger doesn't have to do a whole lot to play a big hulking robot because he's a big hulking guy, and with his accent, he can sound pretty robotic to the American ear. So to blend in, the boy he's protecting says, you got to learn to talk like a human if you want to act like one and get away with it. So he starts teaching these phrases catchphrases that you hear all the time. And so Arnold Schwarzenegger in his robotic voice like this tries to repeat words and sound cool and human and doesn't come off real well. At one point, he has to really protect the boy. And the way he's made, he's robotic, he can take a lot of abuse, and he gets a lot of abuse, and he's shot up and he's dragged and... After all of this, they get in the car and they get away from the bad guys, and he's driving the car, and as much emotion as a robot can put into this, he looks over at the boy while he's driving away from the craziness, and he says, I need a vacation. And when I read these lines again in the scripture, that came back to me. I need a vacation. How many of us this morning, even if you got back from one recently, need a vacation? Because life just keeps... Do any of you do this? I say to myself when I get back from vacation, okay, day one. In this case, I walk into here, get back into the saddle, and I say to myself, okay, keep that image of vacation and just keep it at least for today. 15, 20 minutes goes by. Where did that go? You know, I'm back into my routines, and that whole mindset, and it's outside of the mountain, outside of the cave again, like Elijah, and it's the wind and the earthquake and the fire. What happened to that vow? I said I would keep this with me. It would anchor me. And 15 minutes later, where did that go? Any of you do that? Okay, good, I'm not alone. Life leaves us saying we need a vacation. And Jesus offers one. And I want to expand because he expands the definition of a vacation. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Be still and know that I am God. These scriptures are not asking us to really believe anything. They're not asking us to do anything. In fact, this one scripture, be still and know that I am God, is really hard for Northeast Americans. Because it doesn't ask us to do anything. You mean I don't have to do anything to earn this God? I don't have to work for it? No, that actually pushes us farther away from God. It says, be, not do. Be still and know. That's only the still small voice of God can only reach us when all the rest of the noise has dimmed down. I was going to do this, but I forgot to do it, quite frankly. This morning, before we actually started and there were conversations going, I was going to whisper something with the mic on to be able to say to you, I said something to you. You know, say anything, like good morning. But you would have been talking with others and settling in and whatever, and you wouldn't have heard it over all the rest of the ambient noise. That's what life is like. It's all this ambient noise, and the still small voice of God is always there, but we don't hear it until we be, not do, be still. Then we know. Then we hear. Then God reaches us. Not because God wasn't there, because we settled down. And we can hear. There's a poem. I used to have this memorized. That's long gone. It's called Slow Me Down, Lord. And I won't read the whole poem, but again, a line, since I had memorized this at one point, leapt out at me with these two scriptures. It begins by saying, slow me down, Lord. Ease the pounding of my heart by the quieting of my mind. Steady my harried pace with a vision of the eternal reach of time. Give me amidst the confusions of the day the calmness of the everlasting hills. And then the line that really leapt out at me, teach me the art of taking minute vacations. So here we're going to expand the idea of I need a vacation. The art of taking minute vacations. Here are several mentioned in the poem. Of slowing down to look at a flower, to chat with an old friend or to make a new one, to pat a stray dog, to watch a spider build a web, to smile at a child, to read a few lines from a good book. Minute vacations when the still small voice, because we're not doing, can finally be heard. Daily devotions are our minute or 5 minute, or if you have the time, 15 or 20 minute vacations. We can expand on that. those of us who are active, I know I'm looking at least one runner, that can be the still small voice time. That can be a vacation when we're open. Those of you who like to cook, that can be your minute vacation when done with a mindset of being more than doing. If you know what you're doing and you make your way around the kitchen by heart, you can enter into a vacation which is opening up to hear that still small voice that we just can't hear in all the clatter and the clutter of life. If you're wired to listen, music can be, as I'm sure it is at times, singing and or playing, a vacation with God. If you're wired to see, to create, whatever it is, we're all wired differently, that talent can be used in such a way that the emphasis isn't on doing and that still small voice reaches us, even if it's an activity. Cutting the grass might be. Getting into that zone. What's yours? Where do you find a minute vacation with God? Make that your daily discipline. Work it in. If you're active, be active. You don't have to sit to be still and know. Let me give you a quick example. The last several weeks have been crazy. On August 6th, which was a Sunday, Mom Berggraf, Linda's mom, was over here in the Mifflin Center. And we started a vigil that Sunday after I left here. All day Monday, we were with her. And then I think she planned this. The whole family was there. And then finally, when we all left, she had her peace. About an hour after we left, that's when she died. And I think she had a plan in that. So those of you who have been through this experience know that it's a flurry of activity when you're least prepared to deal with it. Because inside we're running at warp 10, we're in shock, and you got to make plans, you got to go talk with the funeral director, you got to answer a zillion different detail kinds of questions. And for me, this isn't only family, I'm also pastoring to family, which I will tell you is the hardest thing for me to do because I'm in it. So anyway, it was decided we would have something, a small private family gathering here in the sanctuary Thursday. This was Monday night she died. And, okay, that sounds good. Yes, I'll provide that. And then Linda and I go home after the funeral director, and I'm thinking to myself, I don't have a clue, really, specifically, I don't have a clue what to do, because this is my family. The bar is set way up here, and my family's really very diverse in their approach to God. So what can I say, what can I do that will offer something as age differences too, what can I do that will offer something for everybody? Well, my family's big also. So we had 30 people here. I knew that much. I didn't have a clue what I was going to do. Linda and I had tickets that we bought months and months and months ago to go to Longwood Gardens to see two jazz bands, both of them together to play. Well, Linda, no, couldn't do that. And I thought, I'm not going to go and leave her at home. And she said, yes, you need to go. I said, I'm not going if you're not going. And I don't feel, I'm not into this. It's the last thing I want to do. She said, yes, you're going. I already called Brian, our youngest son. He's free. He's going to use the other ticket. You're going. She needed her space to hear the still small voice. And so she's, you go. Okay, meet my son. The concert was wonderful. It just kind of made me forget, take me out of things for a while. And that's the point of where I'm going. Because I got home, it was two bands, so it was a long concert. It's late at night, I sit down at my desk at home, and I think, what am I going to do tomorrow at 4 o'clock here in the sanctuary for the family that's now 30-some people? I didn't have a clue. I did not have a clue. I looked over scriptures and I thought, well, okay, I'll do that. But nothing. Linda bought me this little digital recorder. It slips neatly in my pocket. Threw that in my pocket because it's an hour drive from home to here. And I started the drive up here Thursday morning. One idea. That's all it took. One idea. Pull it out, turn it on, and I start jabbering into the recorder. And by the time I got up here, God gave me the gift. If I have the one central idea, I can orbit around it, I'm okay. I didn't have that. And the service was at 4 o'clock that day. And this is my family. I needed to take a vacation. The concert was my vacation, where I didn't know it, but it got me completely out of the earthquake, the wind, and the fire, so that when I sat in the car to drive up here, the idea was given. Inspirations are not mine. They're given to me, to each of us. We've got to make space to receive inspirations. That's the way they work. The concert was my minute vacation. Opened my heart and allowed the inspiration to come in. How are you wired? Are you active? Are you mostly visual? Are you mostly auditory, listening? Are you deeply intuitive? Do you get it by reading? Then make that your daily devotion. When you step out away from the earthquake, the wind, and the fire of life, and you enter your cave, and the still small voice of God reaches you in your way. Do it every day. As much as possible, do it every day. Create that space. If you have no time, here's your emergency plan. You take one conscious, with deep awareness, breath, like I've been sharing with you. This is my time with you, God. All I have right now is one breath. But you do one deep, full breath where you do nothing else but, okay, I'm with you, God. And that can be enough. That can be the mustard seed to get you through until tomorrow, when you can spend at least 5 minutes every day. Carve out time where God can reach you and you can be